Are you tired of using Google Drive or Dropbox to send files to clients? Well, never get burned again with FilePass. I love and use FilePass exclusively for sending files to my clients. It's a cloud file sharing website specifically made by engineers for engineers. It's absolutely amazing. Go to mixingmusicpodcast.com/FilePass to check out the full feature list and subscribe today. Never lose another dime to burned projects. Happy mixing, my friends, and enjoy the show.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
One, two, three.
Hello and welcome back to the Mixing Music Podcast. I'm your host, DK, and with me as always is my lovely co-host, Low Latency Lou.
Oh, okay. I like that. HDX, let's go.
Low Latency Lou. And today we have a special guest, the wonderful, extraordinary mixer, Jeff Jackson.
Yo, yo. There was like no nickname.
Like, all right, hold on, I got this.
JJ, because it's a JJ, it's a Jeff Jackson, we got to do alliteration here.
LL Cool Jeff Jackson?
Nope, best one I'm going to use for a mix tag. Maybe throughout the podcast.
Because I'm like Jumbo Junior, these don't work.
No.
What's a
hold
J?
Hold on. Not Japanese, Jeff Jackson.
Anyway, we're so glad to have you on the show, Jeff. Thanks for joining us.
Of course.
Whoever's got J's, put them in the comments, message us, whatever. Throw it on Discord.
Yeah, I might use one.
Yeah.
There you go. But today's a very good episode. We're excited to have Jeff on the show. Jeff has been mixing for a long time and has some cool credits under his belt. Is an extraordinary mixer. He actually, at one point, we were in the same studio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you want to get up right on that mic.
Sorry. Yeah, I was right next door. Studio B, right?
Yeah, in Studio B.
Yeah.
And then you had a studio in between. Now you're at a new spot, from what I hear.
Mm-hmm. Yep, over at Lemon Tree in Highland Park.
Oh, shit. You're down the road. I live in Eagle Rock.
For real?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I live on Townsend in Colorado.
Oh, see, I don't know the area well yet.
You know that giant hill in Eagle Rock that kind of divides the two towns? No. It's kind of weird. Whatever.
Okay. I like how Lou is doxing himself right now.
Yeah, I am.
Wait, what's your address again?
Your social security number and your credit card number?
Last four digits of my social.
No,
one,
don't,
two, three,
don't
four.
Stop.
What places do you frequent over there? We can tell.
What time do you leave your house?
Cacao on a Saturday.
Okay.
Cacao Mexican restaurant on a Saturday. Yeah, get their what is it called? Their house ceviche. Yeah.
Okay.
That stuff's good.
I love ceviche.
If you like it spicy,
I don't like spicy.
Oh, they got it sour and spicy.
I like sweet.
At that point you need to go. Okay, same thing.
Well,
in
I like
Park.
I mean ceviche is, you know, sour, but I tend to like margaritas sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so then you got to go to Highland Park, you got to go to damn, I'm forgetting it, but it's right next to the McDonald's on Figueroa.
Okay.
There is a ceviche truck.
Okay.
And
right.
It's been there for like 20 years, and everybody keeps going to it because it's delicious.
Okay.
We need to go there.
That's good.
Raw
that's
fish, good. As long as it's not tilapia, which is tilapia. Mm-mm. Being Asian, that's like, this is like sewer fish. You don't eat tilapia.
Sewer fish.
I wonder how much tilapia I've had in my life, because I bet you I have had it.
We've definitely had a lot.
Yeah, I've definitely had tilapia.
For sure. But on that note, we're going to go right into the show and talk about mixing, obviously. You want to give a little bit of brief background about your clientele, your history, how you got started, and kind of your journey up until the present moment?
Yeah. So I started freelancing in Chicago around 2010.
What triggered that? Like, let's start before. Like, what got you into music?
Well, I was an artist myself, so I worked on just like, I was a rapper, producer.
Did music run in the family? Was it just
not
like,
at all? I was the only one making music.
Sounds about right. That's par for course. Yeah.
And then that just led into around the time like it's time to graduate high school and, you know, figure out what you're going to do with your life. It turned into going to school for engineering. So did that. Moved to Chicago.
Where'd you go?
I didn't move to Chicago. I moved back to Chicago.
Where'd you go for the engineering school?
Well, I went to SIU in Carbondale, Illinois. And then I went back home for an internship at Classic Studios. And then I just stayed and transferred schools to Columbia College in Chicago. So, yeah, dropped out. After like a year and a half.
Don't worry, DK and I technically didn't finish school either.
We call that the Berkeley exit.
Oh, okay. Wait, you guys did Berkeley?
No.
Okay.
The Berkeley exit is what we call when you get so many gigs that it just doesn't make sense to keep going to school.
Yeah, no, it didn't make sense anymore. Like, yeah. I was like the first intern there, so got a chance to like just learn super hands-on with Chris Classic. Shout out to Classic. And yeah, that just transitioned into freelance. Just did it all day.
Were you tracking at the time? Everything?
Tracking all day and all night. At those times, like, tracking sessions turned into mixing sessions too. So, like, you were expected to knock out a whole album like in like a 12-hour session. So, yeah, that was some good training.
Yeah, to say the least. I think that's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to do that a lot too in the early days where they'd book time and it was tracking and mixing at the same time.
Yep. Whatever you want to do within your time, you know, I advertised it. Like, yo, I think at the time I was 20, I started at 25. No, I started off at just like free sessions. So free, like 2-hour sessions. If you like me, you come back and you book me for 25 an hour. And did that. And then eventually, I think I was like 35 an hour at the time. And then around 2013, I moved out here. And yeah, just started my mixing journey. So yeah.
Cool. You want to talk about some of the credits that you've worked with at all? Or
I don't like to talk about credits, but I know it's necessary.
We don't have to, don't worry. But
oh no. You know, I just think engineers don't like to talk about themselves, which is why like
we tend to like to be in the room.
Yeah,
we're the support characters.
Yeah. So naturally, it's just like we default to like, okay, I don't want to talk about myself, but it's important because that's how you get work, new work coming in. So, I was the mix assistant on like Life of Pablo, Rihanna, Auntie. John Mayer, John Legend, worked under Manny, like on all those projects, Manny Mariquin. So, did that for about 3 years and then transitioned into like freelance mixing gigs. So,
That's great. And how long have you been independently freelancing, mixing, specifically mixing in LA now?
Jesus. Well, as an assistant, I still mixed. So, like, I used to work as a freelance mixer, like, in the mornings and then go in for my mix assistant gig at night, like, 7 p.m. until, like, who knows, like, 6 a.m. And then catch some sleep and then do the whole thing over. You know, so during that time, I was mixing for like Brent Faiyaz. That was like 2015. And then when I went freelance in 2017, working with acts like Ro James. I do a lot of R&B, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of R&B. I can't sing, but I do a lot of R&B. Who else? Who else are some people that I've worked with?
That's a long, nice list of names already.
Is it? I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, right now, aren't you, who's your, do you want to talk about your management right now? Like who you're working with?
Yeah, yeah. I'm signed under, Quincy Jones.
It's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool. You know.
Quincy, I mean, we all love Quincy Jones. I mean, Michael Jackson's like my favorite artist of all time. So.
Yeah.
So that's dope.
Yeah,
congratulations to you and all your success, and hope there's a lot more in the future.
Thank you, appreciate that.
So I think this episode is going to be really good because obviously there's a lot of good information that we can try to take from Jeff. Mm-hmm. And let's start off with, how do you start mixes?
Yeah, that's a good question. I tend to start mixes that sound like the reference that the client has been living with. If it does not sound like the reference, like maybe it's a bad export or maybe I have an older session. I don't start the mix until like I have that session because it's all psychological, you know, like I don't want to change the mix drastically to the point where the client don't recognize it. But I want to change it drastically to the point that they love it. I'm joking there, not drastically, but I like to do broad strokes. That's how I look at it, is just doing broad mixing strokes, like overall adjustments rather than micro adjustments.
Work more on the bus than versus the individual track.
Yeah, yeah. If things are, like if all the vocals or lead vocals are going to like an all lead bus, I tend to turn that up than I do the individual tracks, you know, because then you get into adjusting how hard, you know, the track, individual track is going into like the compressor that might be on the lead vocal bus. So then that's going to sound different, you know? So I always try to adjust after the processing so that I'm not adjusting how it's hitting the other processing going into it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but then if that's like something that isn't working, then I'll go in and adjust how things are going into the lead bus. But
honestly, I like that because I guess I've described it in the past as like top-down mixing.
Yeah.
I tend to start on the master bus first,
mm-hmm,
because
yeah,
a lot of times, especially nowadays, mm-hmm, there's so much learning resources available to our clients that they can get a pretty good sound already from home.
Yeah.
A lot of times they're really calling us to really bring it home,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
But they're not that far off sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like, yo, like, it already sounds good. Like, hold on, let me listen to it a couple more times. I'm sure I can figure out what else to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll start from the top and move my way down.
Yeah, that's a good point. Sometimes, like, you just might be hitting the limiter too hard.
Yeah.
And clients may not realize that, like, maybe...
Like, it doesn't hit as hard. It's like, well, right, back it off a little.
Back it off. You know, just start by bypassing what's on the stereo bus. And then if that doesn't work, mm-hmm, then, okay, yeah, work yourself down. I like that, yeah.
So this kind of goes into the topic there. I feel like there's a couple different types of mixers,
mm-hmm,
and both are very, very necessary and very important. And this goes a lot into like taste. We hear a lot of people like they hire the mixer by what they sound like, their taste, their vibe, right? And I think the first type is like what you said, not a lot of like heavy lifting, not producing,
mm-hmm,
just straight up technical mixing, cleaning up the intended work.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's those, for example, Jason Joshua is famous for doing this, which is like the producing mixer,
mm-hmm,
where they're doing a lot and the clients want that. They want it to seem like totally defiantly better, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's funny because in some senses, the more that you charge or the more that you pay for a mix engineer, sometimes you're paying for the skill that they have to know when not to do something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree.
I think that's really incredible. So like for you, how have you been able to develop your ear for knowing when not to do something?
Yeah, I think first it starts off with perhaps a conversation with the client. I find that with independent artists, they look for more creativity, right? Because one, like label gigs, it's like, okay, we hire you because we got it to a point that we like it, to the point where we want to pay your fee. Just take it home for us. But with independent artists, they may not be working directly with that producer who, or engineer, or tracking engineer who can lay out those ideas before it gets to me. So, you know, when I have a mix, I, you know, if it's a new client, like, it's important to have a conversation before and not just guess what they want. It's like, okay, I even remember just listening to Pensado's Place, like, have a creative conversation before you start the mix. So I find that to be handy. So if you work with a client who you know well, they know what they're going to get when they come to you, then yeah, for sure. Like, I like to send two versions. If I add, like, maybe some, like, drops or anything, like, creative that, you know, tends to be like, nah, you know, I don't know about this, I'm not sure, send them the regular mix, and then send them a mix with, like, my...
the creative stuff.
Creative stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how do you deal with, let's say, new independent artists, where you can call them up, potentially have a conversation with them, versus, like, new label artists?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I assume that kind of the freedom, where is there more freedom? Where is there higher expectations? Like, what's kind of your beginning phases? New clients.
New clients?
Kind of getting to know them, that conversation. Who does that kind of go with, and how does that start with independent versus label?
Yeah, I'm independent, it starts with the artist directly. So,
absolutely.
Just calling them, FaceTiming them. I tend to do a lot more interaction with independent clients, like FaceTime, audio movers, like virtual, like, mixing style sessions, which has been different. And I think,
which by the way, I don't mean to pause right there for a second. Audio movers is a software that you can send them direct the audio directly from the DAW to a link, so that way they can listen to it. So it's one way that mixers can do mixing sessions remotely. So you can show them the screen via Zoom and send them the audio via audio movers.
Exactly.
So I just want to preface that real quick.
Oh yeah, yeah. Check that out. Check that out. I wish I had, like, a promo code.
we don't have a promo code for them.
Wink, wink. If you're listening, audio movers.
Yeah. Hook it up.
Sorry, go ahead and continue. Yeah.
But no, I've used audio movers a lot, like, over the pandemic. You know, you have the clients who will want to come in and do notes in person. That tends to work. But then if it's a new client who never been in your room, they're hearing your room, like, just way differently from how you hear your room. And then they'll go back home and just, like, oh, dang. That's not what I wanted. So I find that it's easy to send a link and have them listen in to, like, the mix and the environment that they know, and bring headphones maybe that you know, and we can work on these changes together. But yeah, with independent artists, it's, you know, it's like clear, you know, communication with the artist and maybe the producer too.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah. And with labels, at first, you're dealing directly, and it depends on who brings you in on the project. If it's the A&R who brings you in, then that's your communication, is with the A&R. If it's maybe the producer who brought you in on a gig, then, you know, you're communicating with the producer, and the producer is maybe communicating with the artist and the A&R.
Yeah.
So it all depends who's the point on, like, the who brought you in on the gig.
I found that to be the case almost every single time. It's very rare when it's not. Just because of that same notion where it's like they're kind of in control of the project. If they've been able to call you in, they're a decision maker. You know what I mean? The people we're trying to talk to at the end of the day is the decision maker, not people who have to move it up the ladder.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. Yeah.
Cool. And then so kind of going back to how you set up your mix session. So you usually like to do more top-down mixing, more broad strokes, more minimal, but more exact, I would assume, as well. What are some very Jeff type mix moves?
Jeff. Starting with the drums first, and those I'll adjust individually. Like, usually I don't have like a drum bus. If I do, then I'll turn that up. But you always just kind of want to have smacking drums at first, right? And then,
do you like loud drums in general?
It depends on what the song calls for. Okay. Yeah, yeah. And I think that's important to determine. Like, when I first started off, it was like, yeah, I want to get the drums hitting hard as possible. And then it was just like, you forget about things like the music. You forget about things like the vocals. You're so focused on the kick, you forget about things like the hi-hat and like things that's keeping the rhythm going. But yeah, you know, you always just wanna make sure the drums fit whatever the song calls for, right? So if it's rap, then more than likely, you know, you have to, you know, make a decision early on if it's the kick or the 808 that takes more just like presence in the mix. You know, you have the new style hip hop where like the 808 just kind of like lags behind a little. So then it's like the 808 is the focus. So it's not like I want the most hard hitting kick. It's just like, no, I gotta, you know, keep a balance. But yeah, you just find yourself not getting so like, or I find myself not getting so like wrapped up in the drums, to where I focus on other things and then I'll come back. Always like dial in the drums, music, bass, music, and then I'll bring in the vocal, maybe the lead, and then I'll keep working on the music after I see where the lead goes. And then, okay, mute the lead, and then I'll keep working on, like, the drums. Mm-hmm. Get that to a point, bring in the lead, and then I'll mute the drums. I learned this from John Marie. Mute the drums, mix the vocals to the music bed, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, if it's a piano, just mix the vocal to the piano, okay? And then, okay, bring the drums in, see whatever. But, like, you always want to make sure, like, your vocal blends sound well, especially in R&B, right? So
it's kind of funny. I did learn that one, too, before. And I've used that many, many times. It's helpful. To be honest, it really works.
It works.
Yeah.
It works, yeah.
Especially in, like, I guess, musically sparse music.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like it's just kick, snare, maybe an 808, maybe mm-hmm. like a sample or a synth mm-hmm. pad or mm-hmm. something.
Pad, yeah.
And then that's it. It's like prominently just lead vocal, minimal backing vocals. You're like, damn, like that's a lot of little.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you never want to lose sight of like the artist is like the main focus.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So it's important to like not solo up the lead, mm-hmm. but like have like the music in the lead be your only focus, because, you know, they're not asking for like the most like hard hitting drums. Mm-hmm. Like
yep.
R&B, it's like the lead vocal you want to sound sexy. So, yeah. You know.
So what's the secret to a sexy vocal? Let's start with female.
Ooh.
Sexy female R&B vocal.
So man,
what kind of tonal textures are we feeling?
I love multi-band compression. I do that a lot with the fat filter, MB. I like to also just cut off with like a very sharp
slope,
like brick wall. Yeah. Like I use brick wall on a fat. Like everything but below like maybe 90. And then I'll multi-band just like the low, like 100, just to like control it, right? And then if I need to introduce that back in, I use a lot of the Isotope Ozone 8-9 vintage EQ. I love like around like 500, I'll boost that. 300, boost that.
That's the Pultec style. It's not quite the Pultec, but the vintage EQ on Ozone.
Yeah, yeah. I never done like the research on what it is. Yeah.
It's the same sort of like you got the cut and attenuation and the boost.
Oh man, it sounds so good. It's not drastic, but it's like smooth. That's how I hear it, right? I love the 7K band on it. I tend to use that a lot, just to get like that presence, that I guess that closeness, like you're hanging on to every word.
Yeah.
What else do I use? I use the the UAD 1176 a lot.
Which one? The Revy?
Yeah, Revy. Yeah. I'm saving up to get a Yuri because.
Let me know when you're ready.
I know, dude. I know you're the guy to hit up. Mm-hmm. I'm staring at a Tube Tech CL1B that I'm gonna talk him out of at the end of the podcast.
We'll see.
I think this is a good time to take a quick pause and say we're thankful for our sponsors. We are sponsored by iZotope, actually.
Yes.
And as you can tell, Jeff likes to use it. We like to use iZotope quite often. iZotope and the Ozone Suite, the Neutron Suite. There's a bunch of different suites.
Mm-hmm.
They're all absolutely wonderful. We use them on every mix, and Lou use them on master. There you go. And in that sense, like you can go to iZotope.com/MMPodcast, and you can get 10% off your next purchase. Or instead of, they usually do only a 7-day free trial, but you can do a 30-day free trial if you go to that link. So one more time, that's iZotope.com/MMPodcast to check that out. So thank you for sponsoring the show, iZotope. We love you. Please continue to use their products and support us. Yeah. So on that note, let's keep going. So it's so funny to me because as an engineer, I said, what makes a vocal sexy? And the engineer brain turned on. Mm-hmm. And immediately you took an emotional question and turned it into a technical answer. And that's what we're supposed to do, mm-hmm. right? It's like when the producer says, yo, how do we make this sound more intimate? Well, intimate can means potentially 200 hertz in a vocal, you know, mm-hmm. and the compression in this sort mm-hmm. of way. So that was very cool that you did that. When I said, how do you make a vocal sexy? Well, here's the technical ways that I like to do.
Yeah. And I was going to add the release on the 1176 Revy, like a fast release will, like, I don't know. I just feel like it gets you all up in the throat. Like,
yeah, it just brings back enough of it.
Oh my god!
So the fastest, the 10?
Yeah.
If you ever had somebody with like a rasp in their voice and you mm-hmm. wanted to bring it out, mm-hmm. yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh my god, oh, yeah. I love it.
Anthony Hamilton is my favorite singer mm-hmm. of all time, and I found out that a Revy was prominently used with them.
Yeah. Oh, dude, it's to the point where I want to spend absurd amount of money to get hardware. Yeah. Oh my god, but.
Have you tried the my favorite one is the Purple Audio MC77 one? The Plugin Alliance one?
I haven't tried that yet. I just find because I have like the Mega Bundle. It's just so many plugins to digest.
Honestly, I've had the Mega Bundle almost for a complete year now. I think I'm at my year, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I have to say, like, I've only used like 25% of the plugins.
Oh yeah, it's absurd. I'm embarrassed
I don't use
to say
even that 25% every day. Yeah. But with that said, I frequently find out from different people different plugins to use that are in the bundle
mm-hmm.
that I thankfully have access to. And they put out so many discount codes that are like,
oh my god,
$30 for this plugin, $30 for that plugin, and they're all the plugins you actually want, and you're like, well, damn, stop making it such a good deal. Damn it. Like, stop.
Yeah, they're a really good company who send, like, all type of sales. Like, mm-hmm. I use their BX Hybrid a lot.
Yeah.
I use the SSL EQ channel.
The 9K, the 4K?
The 4K.
I use the 9K 4K. More.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I used to use an actual 9K.
Mm-hmm.
For a while, so it really was very reminiscent of that time.
Yeah. All right, I'm gonna use the 9K now.
And honestly, like, that's how a lot of it goes is we hear another engineer that we respect trying something out, and then we try it ourselves.
We'll try it too. Mm-hmm.
And then we'll find out, no, that wasn't it, or oftentimes that was awesome. It was it.
Yeah.
So it's cool because, like, for example, I let you know, like, yo, you should try this. So now I'm going to ask you, like, what did you think?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and when it comes down to it, I hate to say it, but a lot of my opinion is going to be based off of what you think as well.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of how it goes.
Like, I used to use Kush Audio,
mm-hmm.
and my initial reaction was like, wow, these things are great. But I didn't understand saturation enough to have that kind of love for it.
Oh, man.
DK has actually recently found for Kush Audio.
I love, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the funny thing. Saturated. The more I keep hearing about it, I'm like, damn, do I renew my old subscription?
Yeah.
Like, damn.
Wait. Absolutely, you need to.
Okay, absolutely, I like how there was a wait before that.
Hold on. There's also a new plugin that I've been trying that this is totally unrelated. We're gonna go. Which one? This is so good.
Wait,
it's
such a good plugin. Weird one that you sent me.
Yes,
the one with the awesome name.
It's called Magic Death Eye.
I love the name of it.
Okay.
It's a very Mew, and they have both a single, like a mono, and a stereo. And the stereo one has, you can do added harmonics more than just the input. It's made by one of the previous mastering engineers at Capitol. Mm-hmm. And it's got like 8 tubes and a bunch of hand-wound transformers. It's supposed, and it is so gorgeous. Like,
wait, you can swap the tubes, or the,
like you
the,
can
the
crush
are...
it. It's supposed to be Fairchild-esque with like the you know, mm-hmm. the 1-4 time, mm-hmm.
yeah, yeah.
whatever
constant,
yeah, and the dual release or whatever. Yeah. And it's, I can do whatever setting, uh-huh. and obviously there's better release and attack settings for different sources, but I
know,
can
man.
Just crush it.
Yeah,
and I can't hear it.
I don't know.
It is so
Dude.
Smooth.
I don't know. I'm just saying. It probably does not compare to the Rubber Band Compressor by Jesse Ray Mixes.
Oh, we'll talk about that another time. We'll talk about that on another episode. The Rubber Band.
I'm just saying.
The Rubber Band.
So, yeah. And
boop, bop, bop.
So on that note, we love, this is another thing too. Like, do you often try different plugins and try, how often, what part of your mixing process is, would you say, is experimentation and like learning?
I would say not that often. So I tend to just get caught up in routine, and this is just being honest, right?
Thank you.
Yeah, I just get caught up in routine, especially when there's deadlines and mm-hmm. when you're feeling inspired and you're just ready to grab the thing that you know is going to get you there. I just tend to go for my, you know, my usual. So I do need to get better at that. So I'm taking notes. Rubber Band.
Yeah, I'll get you linked up. I'll put you in an email.
Death Face?
The Magic Death Eye. It's a very
Magic
good,
Death
dope.
Eye.
You know what? We're going to start a group chat just called New Plugins.
You know what? I don't like group chats. Okay, that's another.
Damn, he just exited the group chat before I made it.
Well, I think it's better than me just not replying, but it's hard. Okay, how many group chats do you guys have going on?
Too many. Way too many.
And you guys are present.
As DK, how much I have a hard time. Like, I think the best group chat I've experienced so far was our intern and runner one.
Okay,
yeah, we have two: one for the runners and one for the
interns. Those two, I am actually very active in because I'm an owner of a company. I have to be.
Yeah,
but then all the other ones.
Yes,
I'm on Instagram with like 20 different group chats, and I'm sorry, guys. I know you're hearing this, but like, I see the notifications. I just got too much on my plate right now to look at.
That's
all
what it 20, is.
30 messages
that's,
in a chat.
That's how. Okay, you're bugging for having notification on at like in a big.
Yeah.
Like, no, dude,
some
I mute
got
everything.
Muted already.
Oh yeah. No, it's.
When I say people. It's not groups.
Yeah, groups. I look. I get it. It's just hard for me to, be present in the mix. Sometimes I'm fucking fighting the mix, and then just having to like respond to. You know, my friends just talking about just them just living life.
How's the Lakers game?
Right. Like, oh,
like,
where's the Lakers
you
game? Is you know, so it's hard. It's hard, but
the worst ones is like when you got the one person in the group chat that sends the wrong thing at the wrong time all the time. I used to have a friend that would send gory videos, mm-hmm. but like he'd send like an accident where like the dude's arm broke and you said,
oh
no,
I'm
like what?
No,
why would you do this to me? You just ruined my day. Like, I don't want to exit the group chat, but low key, like, why am I in this?
You just got to mute that thread.
Yeah.
Don't put Jeff in any group chats is the theme of this episode here.
yeah.
No, better yet said than that, I think direct communication is the key. If you got something to bring up, a lot of times, like, hey, you know, you could just hit me up directly. But if you want to tell me something, don't put it in a group chat where I have to reread like 30 messages. How about you just give me a call?
Okay, so I'm not a fan of calls either.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know.
Really?
I prefer calls over text.
The next sentence is going to be, I just don't want anybody talking to me.
I don't know. Maybe it's like...
mental capacity in the moment?
Okay. So when maybe I'll just get a call from like a client, mm-hmm. it's just like my heart just jumps to the absolute worst. Like, yo, this. I just don't like it. A call from like a new client, it's okay, them trying to lock you in on a rate right then and there. So you have to like maneuver out of it and like, oh, you know what? You know, let's continue this conversation with my management who is paid to talk about the money stuff. Mm-hmm. It's, you know.
And to be honest, this is two tricks here. One, you never, ever, ever want to make or commit to any deals on the phone, ever.
Not at all.
You always want to have it written down, whether it's through email or through text. This is huge. Mm-hmm. This actually can save you so many years of mistakes. Mm-hmm. So never make, even if it's from yourself, like, hey, I want to do this mix for free for you. Don't even say that on the phone. If mm-hmm. you do say it on the phone, make sure to write it in.
Follow
and
up
text
with email.
Text it mm-hmm. or email it right afterwards so you have some sort of written proof.
What do I?
Also, end date. It's like, I'm going to do this free mix for you if we do it in the next 3 months.
Mm, yes.
Yeah. That's huge, right? Yes. So always having an end date to deals. Okay, the second thing is you said speak to a manager. This is great. Even if it's just a friend who doesn't do music or if you just pretend that you are your own manager.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Get out of the emotional like, oh, you're my friend. Like, give me a discount. All that goes away if you work through a manager.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And even if that's just like a buddy mm-hmm, that's mm-hmm. in the music scene with you, that's willing to like kind of negotiate on your behalf, if that's what needs to happen, that might be helpful.
Yeah. We tend to undervalue ourselves like easily.
Oh,
yeah.
So
that's why we're engineers. That's why we're.
I was talking to Bob about this, I think a couple visits ago, whatever. I don't remember the timeline. But basically, we were talking about the idea of like, we love being nice people. Mm-hmm. And because of that, we know we get taken advantage mm-hmm. sometimes, or we shot ourselves so hard in the foot, mm-hmm. it's hard to stand back up.
Yeah.
And the biggest way we do that is we like somebody, we want to help them out. So they say they only have X amount of money. And we're like, no, okay, I'll do it. But then it's really hard to backpedal and say, hey, I need more money in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like this vicious cycle, too, because then you're like the nice guy that's not very dominant. And then
or not
hey,
even
they
that.
Take advantage
you're not
of
dominant.
It.
You're not trying to come off as.
No, yeah. High levels of agreeableness.
Yeah.
And it turns around and now you're doing this thing for very low money or less than normal. And now you don't want to do it. So you do a worse job on it. And then they have a bad view on you now.
Exactly.
And it's this vicious cycle. So it's like, and I think engineers are more on the agreeables. Like mm-hmm. you cannot be an engineer and not be high in agreeableness.
Yeah.
It's very
that's your job.
There's a level of patience that comes with being an engineer.
So on that note, it's like, and I think this is probably the most important lesson is to kind of stand up for yourself. Mm-hmm. If you need to go to a therapist and do like,
training.
Yeah. What is it? Not dominance training. What is it? What did I call?
I forget what the term is, but it's basically people, like you can go to your therapist and you can actually act out scenarios where you actually need to be a little more dominant. They'll give you practice to take home with you and everything. And they'll check on your progress.
I did this too in the past.
Yeah.
And I'm just forgetting the actual like vocabulary for it. What was it called? I don't want to say it's dominance training. I don't think it's that. But it's basically kind of getting your own levels of agreeableness mm-hmm. and being able to stand up for yourself and be brave. And that's going to make the client happier, and it's going to make you happier as well. It's going to really help your career. All right, what's a life career like tip, advice? Something that you've been burned on before. What's some advice that you have for career mixing?
Yeah, I think it's funny you say that, something you've been burnt on before. I think anytime you get burnt on something, put it in your contract for new clients, right? Mm-hmm. Getting locked in. I love how you say every agreement, like a free mix or a discounted mix, should have an expiration date. Because sometimes, like, you know, those free mixes carry on, you know, for a while. And, you know, it begins to hurt you more than you're looking to, like, help your friend out, help a new client out, help a dope artist out. So, like, you anytime, like, you, like, man, I wish I didn't do that, just throw it in a contract. Always have a contract.
Mm-hmm. And this
mixer
is...
Mixer agreement.
This is the caveat here, which is really important. You know how much money that I would pay now to get burned 5 years earlier mm-hmm. to learn the lesson?
Mm-hmm.
Like, to make less... To get burned and make mistakes a year earlier than I did has a monetary value.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so in some senses, like I hear this a lot, like in schools, they're like, yo, we don't do free stuff here. We don't allow people to get burned. And I think that you should avoid being burned. But I think the faster that you get burned and the faster you make mistakes, the more you're going to learn from them. So I do think that, for example, there's a psychologist, and he says, do you want to raise your children to be safe or strong? And I think that when they're strong, they become safe. They're able to protect themselves, right? And so if you make all the mistakes early on and you do all the free projects and every possible thing that can burn you, you're not going to get burned when it's when you have a family to raise, when you have a girlfriend you're paying for, or whatever it
paying
is.
Paying
right?
for. What are you saying?
whatever it is. Like
we don't go on dates
enough. When you have car bills, when you have insurance, like all this stuff, when you have rent for home and for studio, when all this is in your face, you cannot afford to be burned as much. So it's better to be burned on the early stages.
Yeah.
I think there's a middle ground to that. I think there's protecting them from all the mistakes by making sure they're safe. And then there's letting them get hurt right away. But you can also teach awareness.
Yeah, I'm not going to stick my son's hand on a stove.
Yeah. No.
This is fire.
You can let them know, like, hey, that's hot. You don't have to touch it. Like, that's going to burn you. I need you to know that that will burn you. I'm not going to pull your hand back if you go reach it. Dumbass, I told you it was hot.
Yeah, I think that's the important part.
Teaching awareness, like you know this. Like, I'll teach a lot of our interns, like, a lot of the issues that I've run into in the past, how I've learned from them, what I do to avoid them. And when it happens to them, they're like, holy shit, you were right. But now they have an understanding of what will go wrong. And now that they know how it actually happened, they're able to analyze the situation better versus like, I wonder why that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love how DK mentioned that just how we have all of these type of overhead situations happening, you know. Home rent, mortgage, studio rent, which is another mortgage, you know, paying for equipment, maybe financing equipment, having to pay yourself too. And people just expect us to not stick up for ourselves or do a mix for a very low price. And it's just like, I think that producers and maybe just everyone but engineers don't understand just like our community. They don't understand what all goes into what we do, how many hours goes into what we do, how many years went into what we do, and how much tuition paid went into what we do, how many free mixes and internships went into what we do. I think that's important. Not a lot of people understand just like how much it takes us to do a mix, how much it takes us to go back and forth on revisions. And I feel like if there were maybe some type of understanding of that, there would be more receptive of the price that we're originally quoting. You know what I mean? And not trying to undermine us or underpay us. You know, I
absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think that's the same reason I don't like the phrase, put me on, bro.
Yeah.
Every time I see that,
it sounds like Atlanta.
I'm just letting you guys know. I think I've blocked more people for that phrase on my Instagram than anything else.
Except for me. We started a business together.
Yeah, we started a business together.
I'm just kidding. I didn't say put me on, bro.
Yeah, but you didn't specifically say put me on, bro. And in fact,
I said, bro, put me on.
The main reason.
How you say it?
The main reason we got into business was just our agreement on. It's about building a community.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing is, just like most communities, we all understand how hard it is to build a quality community, whether that be your neighborhood that you live in, where it's like, all right, cool. Like, there's a lot of trash in the street. Let's start doing something about it. Let's clean it up. But nobody's trying to walk into the community and be like, you guys owe me a clean community.
Like, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, yeah.
So on that note, I think a great way to end this episode with you here is two things. One, do you put anything on your mix bus or master bus? And two, how do you know when you're done with the mix?
That's a good question. Well, number one, I do put things on my mix bus is usually what the session has, well, what came over in the session. So if the reference mix if there's something on the master bus that makes that reference what it is, then I use it. And then from there, I back up off it, and then I add maybe a limiter that I prefer, which is like a Pro-L, a L2 old school, a UAD, SSL, UAD, bus compressor, the hybrid, BX hybrid. What else do I use?
Would you say you're more on the minimal side, or would you say you do quite a bit?
I'm minimum. I also have outboard gear that I'm running things into as well.
You sum often as well, right?
I'm a summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You sum often on the Sigma.
Sigma, yep.
The SSL Sigma. Yeah. So that's dope. Yeah. And then for you, what is it? What's the point where you're like, and this is tough because you're a little bit more experienced, right? And we've been doing this enough where it feels kind of automatic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But from the perspective of a new mixer, how do you know when you're done with the mix?
I guess when I just run out of notes for myself. Like when I listen to the mix, and as I begin mixing, I have notes that it's like, okay, I want to make sure this, I want to clean this up, I want to do this, I want to do that. When I feel like I have nothing else to add, that's how I know I'm done. Sonically, when I'm beating the reference, when I can play the reference and I play my mix and it's like, okay, cool, I sound way better than that.
Yeah.
Deadlines as well don't hurt. I like a deadline. I'm not gonna lie. Like,
yeah,
I love deadlines.
I work better with deadlines.
Yeah,
too.
It's like, get it done by this. Okay, cool. It's done. But not to say I'm slacking on it, but it's like, okay. I'm also at a point where I don't like to spend days and days on a mix when I know I'm gonna get notes back. And I'd spend days and days on the notes. Yeah. It's like, let's just get to that point where you hear this and we're collaborating now. So
yeah, there you go. And for your notes, are they written down or are they just kind of mental?
Oh, for myself, mental. They should be written down. I should write them down, but they live in my head.
DK saved my life by introducing me to FilePass.
What's that?
Ooh.
We'll talk about that. Yeah. Actually, if you go to mixingmusicpodcast.com, there's a list of sponsors and endorsements that we have, a list of discounts that we have. FilePass is one of our sponsors as well. Mm-hmm. So go to mixingmusicpodcast.com. You check out our sponsors. It's an uploading service for files and sending out files to clients. There's a paywall, so they can't download the files unless it's paid for.
Timestamp notes.
Oh, I heard about that.
Timestamp notes and revisions.
I've been meaning to incorporate that.
Yeah, I'll show you how mine's working. FilePass. I love it.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. All right. And so on that note, I think, is there anything else that we specifically want to bring up? I moved my my live mixing streams. They're no longer Monday evenings. They used to be Monday evenings, mix feedback Mondays, but now they are feedback Fridays. So I do them Friday mornings, 10 a.m. PST, Pacific Standard Time in the U.S. I'm on Twitch every week. Come say hi, come say through. We do mix feedback. Anything else? What is your social media stuff? Oh,
I was going to say, so if you guys go to my Instagram, Mastered by Lou, or even my website, I believe. Yeah, I have a pop-up for it on my website, midsidesound.com. I've been giving away the free Pro Tools vocal template that all the interns
We should do a link on Mixing Music Podcast.
Yeah, so I have that. You can download that. And yeah, if you guys are in Pro Tools, download it. It's free.
Sweet. And I'll hyperlink it onto the mixingmusicpodcast.com. Mm-hmm. If you email me the link, I'll put it on the website.
Sure.
Dope.
Sweet. And do you want people like DMing you questions or like, what's the deal? Are people finding you on social media?
Do you want group chats?
Yeah. No group chats. DMs are cool. Just understand that I'm not as quick with the response, but I do feel like it's very important to respond to all the DMs because I remember when I was DMing engineers. I still do, but just like asking questions and what it felt like just getting a response back. Mm-hmm. I remember when I got a response back from Pensado like in 2011. It was like, oh my God. But you can follow me on jeffjacksonmix.com, both Twitter, Instagram, go to my website, jeffjacksonmix.com. Wait, I say .com for the Instagram. And
at Jeff Jackson Mix.
Yes. At Jeff Jackson Mix, Twitter, Instagram, JeffJacksonMix.com for the website. And I'm also interested or excited about announcing the new studio.
Yeah.
Do you want to announce it now? Or?
Yeah.
Not yet.
Okay.
Ooh. All right. So guys, follow him on Instagram.
Yeah. How would this announcement be official? I might just have to come back.
You could go. Yeah. You come back. We can make memes.
We'll make memes for the announcement. No, well, thank you so much for joining us, Jeff. We really appreciate the friendship, the love, your work, and everything that you do. So on that note, happy mixing, my friends, and stay saucy.
1, 2, 3.
Hey, what up? It's DK. Thank you so much for listening to the Mixing Music Podcast. I just want to do a quick plug. Did you know that I write kids' books? If you have children, nieces, nephews, I have books that are totally available for free or $10 on Amazon for physical copies. You can go to mixingmusicpodcast.com/kidsbooks to get access and learn more about that. Thank you for all of your support. Now let's get back to the show.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.